President Trump is threatening to shut down the U.S.-Mexico border over a group of people fleeing Honduras who say they want to apply for asylum in the United States. The number of migrants is estimated to be in the thousands, according to news reports. They're traveling together by foot in what's been a week-long journey through Central America. Elise Cohen is an immigration expert and assistant professor of political science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, these large groups of migrants, some have called them, described them as caravans of migrants. They make for a dramatic media coverage. Definitely, they got a lot of political attention. Can you talk about how they fit into the overall immigration story in the United States?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We have seen the numbers of people coming from what they call the Northern Triangle countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, increasing in recent years. And whereas in the past we saw a lot of the numbers of migrants were shaped sort of by the labor forces of the market, this really seems to be more about increasing levels of violence in those countries. So I think this group coming from Honduras right now, a lot of those seem to be fleeing this kind of kidnapping, threats of extortion, really fleeing for their life, or what we would call asylum seekers.
Can you talk about their legal status as they try to gain entry and maybe stay in Mexico or try to gain entry into the United States?
Yeah, when we saw a few months ago, back in April, a similar group, which media reports were calling a caravan, it ended up in the it began in the thousands. It ended up more like 150 or so by the time the last contingent made it to the U.S. border. So I think we'll have to watch and see in the next couple of weeks how many from this group actually come to the U.S. border to try and request asylum. And that's what they would need to do. They would need to do credible fear interviews with our Border Patrol and Customs, which is basically where they would be assessed in terms of whether they qualify for fleeing persecution or torture.
President Trump spoke about this at a campaign event in Montana this week. He suggested without evidence that Democrats were behind the flow of migrants. Here's a listen to some more of what he had to say.
As you know, I'm willing to send the military to defend our southern border if necessary. All caused because of the illegal immigration onslaught brought by the Democrats because they refuse to acknowledge or to change the laws. They like it. They also figure everybody coming in is going to vote Democrat.
Can you talk about what the president had to say and how U.S. policy may affect whether immigrants or migrants try to make their way into the United States?
Yeah, I think that's a really critical question with the timing of this. When we look at President Trump's tweet, you're absolutely right. He sort of blamed or linked this to Democrats, saying, I'm watching the Democrat Party-led assault on our country, so even calling it an assault by the Democrats. And he also said, you know, this is going to be an election of the caravan when he was speaking at the rally. So he's really trying to link this in the context of being about 3 weeks or less than 3 weeks away from the midterm elections. It's really clever in terms of rhetorical strategy because it's amplifying his law and order message, getting tough on immigration and border control. And this is something that we know political conservatives really like and value and appreciate, and a lot of his base in the Republican Party. It could really sort of motivate turnout in the November election among those voters if they feel like energized by this rhetoric. You also may have noticed in the tweet he talks about closing the borders, and that's exactly the opposite of what he accuses Democrats of supporting, which is open borders.
And what would that mean? The president talks about closing the borders. Does that have a technical meaning?
Well, I think the complete closure of over 2,000 miles of border that we share with Mexico is unlikely. So it's more likely that this would be a threat that he's using to try and get Mexico, the Mexican government, to cooperate to diminish the amount of these migrants that actually make it to the U.S. border. But most importantly, I think it really is the rhetoric of trying to rally his political base ahead of the midterms. When we have seen talk of closing the border, you know, what would that mean to have a total shutdown of our southern border? A lot of economists say that would be devastating. We have over $1 billion worth of goods and services that legally cross the border every day, and, you know, over 40% of our produce that comes in from Mexico. So I think it's not necessarily likely to happen, but more about the rhetoric and the threat of it.
Elise Cohen is with us, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc. We're talking about the large group of Honduran migrants trying to make their way currently into Mexico, many bound ultimately likely for the United States. You mentioned the president talking about relations with Mexico. He has suggested the NAFTA replacement deal could be on the line, depending on how Mexico handles this. Yesterday, the Mexican ambassador to the United States, Geronimo Gutierrez, was on Fox News talking about Mexico's response.
It was very clear that we need to follow a two-track approach. We need to work in development and help those countries, and we're doing. And we also need to make sure that laws are enforced, and that's also what we're doing.
Let's take that first point, working on development and help in those countries, meaning Honduras and El Salvador. What is being done? Is the United States involved in that kind of effort to try to address some of the things that are driving people out of a country like Honduras?
Yes, we do give a lot of aid to the Honduran government. There is some critique, however, of the aid that we give because there's some controversy with the newly elected president who came in last year. There were a lot of claims of election rigging and that this is really a corrupt kind of anti-democratic regime in Honduras. And by giving especially some of the military aid that we do as part of our foreign aid budget to the country, our administration may be kind of supporting some of his anti-democratic ruling styles. But we do know development is really crucial. When we look at the extreme poverty of Honduras, we see it's about two-thirds of the Honduran people that live in deep poverty, somewhere like 20% of them even in extremely deep poverty, like less than $2 a day. So this really is crucial when we think about not only the violence and the gang violence that's driving this, but also just basic, you know, ability to survive for the people that live there.
But I saw a quote from one of the migrants in translation. I'm cleaning up the language a little. If we're not hurt by the criminals in Honduras, we're hurt by the government in Honduras. This is part of why people are leaving. There's the criminality, but no recourse from the government to help them.
Yeah, I've heard similar quotes in interviews with people, not only in this group, but in groups coming from all of the Northern Triangle countries, including Honduras in the past, where they were asked, you know, well, what happens if you are detained or separated from your child when you cross into the U.S. irregularly or illegally? And some of those interviewees would say, well, there's really nothing scarier than my home, what I'm fleeing. So absolutely, this idea that for many of those, it may be a life or death kind of situation.
And for that second point from the Mexican ambassador to the U.S., developing Honduras, sure, but also a need to make sure laws are enforced. So what are the legal responsibilities of Mexico and the United States toward these migrants, and what are their legal rights to enforce immigration laws? They aren't open borders.
Right. That's a really great point, because we do have some sort of obligation under international law regarding asylum. It's sort of sketchy exactly what it means, but we know that there is a legal obligation at least not to return those individuals that are fleeing violence, harm, persecution, or torture back to the country which they fled. So that means that in practice, the Mexican government really should not be returning or deporting people back without first assessing whether they qualify for asylum. The same thing with the U.S. We should be doing those credible fear interviews and really making sure that we are not sending back or returning anyone that has credible fear of persecution. Where it gets a little more complicated is that we know in practice that doesn't always happen, and sometimes those credible fear interviews are either done very quickly or in a manner where it's not clear that there's really adequate due process.
Elise, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next, both with this large group of migrants and with policy toward people from these three countries in Northern and Central America in general?
I think the thing for people to watch on this will be what happens as the group kind of makes its way, because the first smaller contingent has crossed over the border into Mexico from Guatemala earlier today, and we have images of Mexican police with riot gear, heavily armed. So I think there are some concerns that there may even be an outbreak of violence between the migrants and the Mexican police forces. So that's really what I'll be watching for, to see how that unfolds.
Elise, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
That's Elise Cohen, political scientist from UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc. She was with us to talk about the group of Honduran migrants who have been traveling through Central America, many ultimately looking to apply for asylum in the United States.